I'm Linda Holmes. I'm here with Sam Sanders, who's the host of NPR's It's Been a Minute. Sam, I have a question for you. Do you think that public radio is a good home for good conversation?
I think it's an excellent home for excellent conversation.
That's really funny because I think that, too. You know what we do on my show, Sam?
Conversations.
Good conversations. You know what they do on your show, Sam?
Good conversations.
Good conversations. Who have you talked to recently, Sam?
We're about to talk to Catherine Hahn, who is amazing in everything she does, including I Love Dick and the Romanoffs and all this good stuff. And then we talk to folks like you because we have journalists up in the mix every week making sense of the week of news.
And you also talk to people on the phone from far and wide.
Literally.
And you have conversations with them about what's happening on the news in their area, and you get it straight from the source, somebody who lives where the news is happening.
Mm-hmm. We conversate.
That's
not
right.
A real word, but I'm going to say it. I like to say it. Conversate.
You absolutely do conversate, as do we conversate sometimes with you on our podcast. So you can support all of public radio and all of those good conversations at donate.npr.org/Sam or donate.npr.org/happy. What's warm and fuzzy, emotionally manipulative, and desperate for attention almost every hour of every day? My dog, yes, but also the Hallmark Channel's endless supply of holiday movies and the competitors nipping at their heels.
They've got hometown returns, happy families, old romances reborn, and small businesses saved. Happy endings to all, and to all a good night. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. Today on Pop Culture Happy Hour, we're talking about some of our favorite holiday cable movies. With us here in the studio is Kat Chow of NPR's Code Switch. Hi, Kat.
Hey.
Now, Kat and I are both people who feel that we have waited our whole lives to talk about this. Now,
yes.
I have not always waited. I have talked about it in passing, but we've never really given it our full attention.
No, and this is something that demands your full attention. Like, I'm sitting here smiling so big I can't contain myself.
Yes. You know, Hallmark runs cheesy romances of this sort throughout the year, but a lot of us really don't pay a lot of attention to it except during this season. Mm-hmm. Kat, how did you become a Hallmark movies person? When did that kind of happen for you?
Oh, man. You know, this started, I think, in 2015. And I think sometime after Halloween, as in right after Halloween, November 1st, I turned on my TV and was flipping around for some movies. And the Hallmark Channel popped up. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's already Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Not even just holiday season, but just mm-hmm. Christmas season on TV. And so you know, every single year after Halloween, I will just watch these holiday movies nonstop.
Yeah, I should mention, there was news that next year it will be more true that they are holiday movies as opposed to Christmas movies. Because apparently they are going to have two, I read, that actually include Hanukkah.
Yes.
Oh.
So they are branching out in the same way that this year, as far as I know, is the first year that there have been black leads in any of their Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite trope from these kinds of movies?
This is so good. Okay, so I was thinking about this. And so there's always, like, you know, the mixed up trope or the feud trope where there was this movie, A Christmas Getaway. And so basically in that movie, there's this travel writer who, you know, gets to go on this Christmas vacation where the only thing that she does is, like, write about Christmas trees or Christmas holidays around the world.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, seen it.
Yeah, pretty good. I liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trope that I like the most is when they basically try and reinvent Groundhog's Day. So
yeah.
There's one movie that I'm thinking about in particular. It's The 12 Days of Christmas.
Yes!
From 2011.
Is that the one where she keeps hitting her head or faints on the floor of the department store?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So she gets set up on this really terrible blind date on Christmas Eve and basically has to relive Christmas Eve. That particular trope I enjoy because you don't see as much of it on the Hallmark Channel in this season just because you can only have so many Groundhog Day remakes. But there is something, you know, about that particular movie that is a little exciting to rewatch in every single iteration.
Sure.
There's so many new details.
Well, so Kat and I are regular viewers. Our buddy Steven.
Hi, Linda.
Is here with us as our kind of newbie.
Yes.
Who we're introducing to this genre. Do you have a favorite trope?
I've been DVRing these movies because Linda has given me, you know, guides, like, check out this one and this one and this one, and you have to see the one with Mariah Carey. So I've been DVRing them, and every time my DVR catches almost exactly the last 10 seconds of the previous movie, mm-hmm. which, you know, you're like, come on, spoilers, man. And every single time, those 10 seconds contain the couple kissing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you realize, I mean, these are entirely sexless. They're furtive look, furtive look, furtive look, kiss, credits. And I realized that kissing in Hallmark movies is basically their safe word.
Yeah.
That, like, they kiss, end.
Yeah.
And there's never anything after that. I enjoyed that. I grew up around snow. The makers of these films have absolutely no idea what snow looks like.
Sure.
You never see anyone's breath. Mm-hmm. Every time I think, man, this is the fakiest looking snow, a character on screen will start shivering.
Yes.
With what's clearly soap flakes on their
hands. Yeah, exactly.
Or little bits of confetti. Now, you and I watched together Switched at Christmas.
Yes.
Starring Candace Cameron Bure and Candace Cameron Bure.
As twins.
As twins. Ooh. Who switch places at Christmas. Not to be confused with the Netflix film The Princess Switch, starring Vanessa Hudgens and Vanessa Hudgens
right.
as identical cousins, which is really
so
questionable.
Quite a
genetic thing. And they switch, and one of them is, of course, a European princess from Belgravia, not to be confused with Genovia from The Princess Diaries
or Aldovia.
Aldovia from A Christmas Prince. So you have seen back to Switched at Christmas. You've seen Switched at Christmas. Mm-hmm. I had you watch one called Snow Bride.
Yes.
Ooh, Snow Bride.
Which is one I really like. And mm-hmm. I said, so here's an example of one I actually think is a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And you watched A Christmas Melody.
I also watched Road to Christmas.
Oh, yes. Road to Christmas.
Yeah. Which
yes,
I really mm-hmm. enjoyed.
Yes. Road to Christmas, which I recommended partly because it was written by someone I know. So in Road to Christmas, there is a famous celebrity woman who is definitely not Martha Stewart.
Not at all.
And the woman who works for her has to pull off the Christmas special with the assistance of her son, played by Chad Michael Murray from One Tree Hill.
Yes. Mm. If you have ever been on a kind of TV primetime soap opera, this is where you land.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually. Uh-huh. I enjoyed Road to Christmas in part because as much as these movies are, as Glenn would say, on rails, mm-hmm. They do find ways to switch up the plots. And sometimes they can be incredibly Byzantine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try explaining the first 15 minutes of Snow Bride to somebody who's walked in. So the plots can be very complicated, and yet at the same time, you can walk in and out of the room and still know exactly what's happening,
it's not hard to catch up.
How it's going to play out. But one thing I like about Road to Christmas is that Road to Christmas has more than just the central relationship in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also...
it's complex.
As the movie is going along, the dude is kind of reuniting with his adoptive brothers. Their relationships matter in this movie in ways that in some of these movies, these kind of secondary ancillary relationships are totally disposable. Like, I watched A Christmas Melody, and we're going to talk about the mm-hmm. Mariah Carey film, A Christmas Melody.
Yeah.
But, like, in A Christmas Melody, you're like, well, she's going to have to wind up with this man because he is the one man.
He's the only person option. She knows. Yeah. The other thing about A Road to Christmas that I'll mention is that one of those adoptive brothers is silently but obviously gay,
yeah.
which is new for Hallmark, not common on Hallmark at all, not even in the side
yeah.
kind of characters,
right.
but clearly has a partner and they run a dog rescue together.
Oh.
He's in an adorable gay couple. And I feel like even
your Aunt Gladys could tell, even though it is never actually acknowledged.
Yeah, it is not, of course, ever actually acknowledged, let alone do they get to kiss or anything. But clearly, they're adorable. They run a dog rescue. And one of the partner's, like, three lines is about his time in theater. And I was like, yeah, okay, they want to make sure you don't miss it.
Right.
What did you think of Snow Bride? Now, Snow Bride is one where a woman...
She's a tabloid reporter.
She's a tabloid reporter sent off to investigate a political family and winds up in a wedding dress in the snow. Don't think too much about it. And by the time the guy kind of rescues her from the snow, he doesn't realize who she is. She gets to know the family.
You get a little bit of a while you were sleeping thing going on.
Absolutely.
What I kind of enjoyed about that one, I really expected a lot of these movies. I've seen a few of them, and I kind of expected them all to be the same. Mm-hmm. Kind of dewy-eyed protagonist. She's very nice. There might be a romantic rival who is obviously awful because she wears stilettos and her hair's pulled back.
Uh-huh.
And
it's like in a tight bun.
The tight bun is always the enemy and the man wearing a tie.
Yeah, exactly. And I liked in Snow Bride the fact that the protagonist particularly starts out not very likable. She has to warm up over the course of the movie. She is not this exact perfect prototype of the lonely heart, single woman who just needs to meet the right man in order to finally achieve happiness. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that that movie let a little bit more darkness in. I have enjoyed watching these movies, coming to an understanding that there is actually, as much as these things follow specific formulas, there is a lot of variation in within the formulas, within the plots, and very much within the quality from film to film.
Some of these are
very good. Some of these are very well made. Some of these are very fun and heartwarming. And some of them are totally inept.
Yeah. And I think it also comes from partly who the leads are, because mm-hmm. there are certain people who have been in a bunch of these where I look at them and I think, I don't like, I never like her. And I just won't. I just never into this. Whereas the woman who is in Snow Bride, who's the actress's name is Katrina Law. Mm-hmm. She's been in a couple of other ones and I always like her.
Yeah.
I
just, she elevates
I think she's really funny. I think she has a very nice little sense of comedy.
I would love to see, I don't know, a Hallmark holiday movie about a working actress who has to play all these roles and gets so jaded by having to play all these holiday roles. And, you know,
there is one. There is one, and I can't remember if it's Hallmark or somewhere else, where a woman is shooting a Christmas movie in a small town.
It's very meta. It could be called, like, We Meta Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you gotta have a pun, right?
Yeah.
Like the movie It's Christmas, Eve.
I just watched that last night. But so one of the things that this movie could also have, I would love if Hallmark did this sort of, like, Captain America, you know, Civil War type of thing where you bring in, like, actresses who are in so many of them, because a lot of these plots are really similar where, you know, basically capitalism happens to the main actress. she goes from being this small town, you know, farm girl to someone who works in a corporation that is evil and then comes home and tries to destroy the home and stuff happens and she actually ends up saving it. What if they all just learned from one another so that we could just have a different subplot or something? I don't know.
So you're talking about a superhero team up of, like, in comes Katrina Law and in comes...
you could have, like, the one big, like, Lacey Chabert, mm-hmm. Candace Cameron Bure. You could have all of them get together.
Leanne Rimes.
Yeah. Leanne Rimes. You could get all of them together. And they could all just run one big company that would save all the small towns in America.
And they would save all the problems of the small town, like schools, the music program, the, I don't know, Christmas tree ceremony.
There are a couple of different...
That company definitely sells whimsical Christmas hats.
Oh, yeah. There's at least two that I can think of where the guy is the music teacher at the school. Mm-hmm. I wrote about these once and I said, look, typically either the guy who is the romantic hero is professionally tough, like a cowboy or a firefighter or something like that, or he's professionally cuddly.
Like and has a dead wife.
like a music teacher or, you know, a children's photographer or something of that nature. The people who are bad, the men who are bad, are the ones who are professionally greedy, like bankers or real estate developers. And usually she's dating the guy who works with her in the big evil corporation who wants her to come and, you know, kill the local small business, which eventually...
Cut the music program.
Exactly, which she eventually, you know, is not going to do. Now... Stephen, I had you watch A Christmas Melody.
You did. Mm. Thank you.
Directed by and supportingly starred in by Mariah Carey. It's quite a film. Is it not?
It's fascinating.
So the setup of this one is Lacey Chabert, who you might remember from her childhood on Party of Five or Mean Girls, plays a woman who goes back to her hometown with her daughter. She meets the music teacher, falls in love with him. And Mariah Carey plays her one-time rival, who's now kind of the mean mom or the overbearing mom.
I mean, this is a very inept movie. I really came away from it, other than a couple of observations about the weird product placement of Folgers coffee. I came away from this movie mostly absolutely fascinated with how Mariah Carey is filmed.
Yes.
In this movie.
Interesting.
You gotta see it, Kat.
I know, I have to see this.
So every time Mariah Carey is on screen, she is shot through a filter, I think, like kind of a Vaseline caked filter. She's lit differently, shot differently, differently made up. even in scenes in which she appears next to another person, to the point where I'm pretty sure her entire performance actually takes place on a soundstage in front of a green screen and is superimposed. Mm. She has a number of scenes in which she's having a conversation with Lacey Chabert, and the camera does that thing where it's never on their faces the same time. Yeah. They are clearly not in the same room.
But there are shots where they are. There are shots where you can see both of them.
She's side by side with someone.
You can see that they were shot there, but not like while she's talking. Huh. It looks to me like she went off and shot like all her lines somewhere else with some other lighting setup and filter setup. I have no idea what she did, but it looks really different.
Now, the effects in this movie, the effect, I say, because she's clearly not in the room at any point. I think when she is side by side with someone in the same shot and you're like, oh, well, she had to actually be present. She's side by side. The effects are only slightly more noticeable than Candace Cameron Bure acting next to Candace Cameron Bure in Switched at Christmas. It is actually more noticeable when Mariah Carey is in the same frame as another human being in the film she is supposed to be directing. She had to be there.
You have to see it. It's very weird. But as Stephen pointed out, the really big story of this movie is that the second lead in the movie is Folgers Coffee. Mm-hmm. They keep kind of lingering on these long shots of Folgers Coffee. Kind of, you zoom in for no reason on the Folgers Coffee
90-minute ad. Yeah.
At one point, like, they're actually having a conversation, and you just hear the conversation as the camera has closed in on the Folgers. And poor Kathy Najimy is in this movie in maybe the most thankless role of her life. She is definitely in the list of billed performers. She is behind Folgers Coffee.
Yeah. Well, this is what they do with these. They get a person who you love from some past thing. You're Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. There's one where it's Ed Asner. There's this one where it's Kathy Najimy. They go get someone who the Hallmark audience, which sometimes skews a little bit older, will know and love from some past project. And that person will play the helpful advising older relative or something like that, while the third lead from a broadcast drama plays, you know, someone who's on iZombie or something like that will play the actual lead of the film.
These are great roles.
These are.
These are great. I mean, I'm not saying like these are the performances they'll remember you for, but like these are where working actors go to work.
It sounds like I'm making fun of them, and I am sort of making fun of them, but I think they're made in the spirit of everybody there knows kind of what these movies are.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they make them inexpensively. And yes, it is a place where certain people, like, this is a big part of, this is what Candace Cameron Bure does now. This is what Danica McKellar does now. This is what a lot of these actors do now, and a lot of the guys who are nobodies, frankly, to me.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm always like,
to them, but
you were famous when I was 15. I don't know who you are. And so, yeah, it's absolutely, it's a place where people work. It's a place where writers get writing jobs. It's a place where, you know, I think people take pride in making the best one that they can. Well, if you are a person who enjoys a Hallmark movie now and then, please come and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Tell us what your favorite is and maybe we'll share one of our favorites with you. You can also find similar films on Netflix. You can find similar films on Lifetime, which tends to be quite a bit more diverse in its acting, which is an advantage they have. Mm-hmm. So find us and tell us what you think. And when we come back, it is going to be time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What is making us happy this week? So come right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas has re-engineered socks for ultimate comfort by getting rid of that annoying toe seam, adding arch support, and using some of the world's softest cotton. And for every pair purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. To date, they've sold and donated over 10 million pairs. To feel the Bombas difference, go to bombas.com/happyhour for 20% off your first order. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Buffy, the comforter made better for you and the earth. Buffy uses natural eucalyptus to create a soothing, silk-soft fabric and rejuvenates recycled bottles into a cloud-like fill, all to create a comforter with 4.8 stars across 13,000 reviews without cruelty or waste. Visit Buffy.co to experience the complimentary 30-night trial and use code NPR to save $20 on your purchase.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment, What's Making Us Happy This Week. Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week, buddy?
It's the, as they say, the most wonderful time of the year. It is when NPR Music launches its year-end lists of the 50 best albums, the 100 best songs, and a whole bunch of supplementary essays about the year in music. There is a ton of great stuff for you to dive in and sample. I like to think that in addition to your heavy hitters that everyone knows about, that everyone knows are great, like Janelle Monáe and Mitski and Kacey Musgraves, who are kind of at the top of the albums list, we also sprinkle in some discoveries along the way, albums that we were just really, really excited about making sure that people track them down and discover them going into the new year. So it's NPR Music's big year-end roundup blowout. Got episodes of All Songs Considered rolling out where we talk about the year in music. It is always a really, really fun time as we kind of slam the door shut on another year.
Slam the door shut on 2018. That's what I say.
And you can find all of that stuff at npr.org/music.
Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Kat Chow, what is making you happy this week?
What's making me happy this week is this novel called Severance by the writer Ling Ma. And basically, this novel is set in New York City, and there's this apocalypse that happens really, really slowly because there's this virus that's just taking people out. And the protagonist, her name is Candace, she works in an office and, you know, she's just like become very jaded with her job over the years. It's like she does like very menial tasks and she doesn't seem to realize that this apocalypse is happening around her. And so the novel takes place as she realizes that her surroundings are no longer what she thought they were. It's like a very dystopian novel, kind of feels realistic in some senses, and it's really funny, and I highly recommend it. It's called Severance by Ling Ma. And then the other thing that's making me very happy is that this past week on Code Switch, I got to feature my dog Samson in an episode where I asked the question, is my dog racist? And, you know, like how we all have uncles or aunts or distant relatives who say or do questionable things related to race where they may or may not be racist. I've always wondered this about my dog. And I got to find out if that is even possible for a dog to be racist. So I feel this sense of relief having asked that question publicly. I feel as though I have confronted this family member that I love and that now we can work through the issue at hand.
Nice.
And I can bring my dog to probably more doggy training. And yeah, that's what's making me happy. Please listen to it.
Nice. Code Switch episode on whether Cat's dog is racist. It's called Dog Show.
It's called Dog Show.
All right. Well, what is making me happy this week is a film that I recently discovered is on Hulu. I think it's been on Hulu for a while. And it's called The Gospel According to Andre. And it is a documentary about Andre Leon Talley. And Andre Leon Talley has had a long career in fashion. He was the creative director at Vogue for a long time. He worked at W for a long time. He was then back at Vogue as the American editor at large. And he is just a fascinating, glamorous, spectacular figure in fashion and culture. He has dressed some of the most famous women in the world, helped style them, helped introduce them to designers. He's incredibly smart. He is very thoughtful and reflective about his experiences with race and fashion and culture. And if you like a biographical documentary like the September issue was for other people at Vogue or like Bill Cunningham New York was, then you might really enjoy The Gospel According to Andre. Again, it's streaming on Hulu, and I recommend it most highly, and I think you will enjoy it and get a lot out of it. Before we go, we have another thing that we want to mention, which is we have a newsletter launching. Now, Pop Culture Happy Hour has had a newsletter that's been sort of a bare bones kind of update thing. This is going to be a newsletter that is an actual newsletter full of thoughts and recommendations from us. And that will be for those of you who always wonder, how do I make sure that I get what was making everyone happy this week? You'll be able to get that, be able to get some fresh recommendations and some links to the things that we and our friends have been writing. So to subscribe to that, go to npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And that's going to be launching this week. So as you listen to this on Friday, we will be dropping the first issue of that newsletter. So sign up again, npr.org/popculturenewsletter, and you will get a lot more of our thoughts and recommendations in a form that you can hang on to in your email. So we're excited about that. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Stephen at I Dislike Stephen. And you can find Kat at Kat Chow. You can find our producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy, our producer, Vincent Accavino, at V. Accavino, and our producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, that's K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. We will see you right back here next week.
Can't get enough of A Star Is Born? Terry Gross is talking to Bradley Cooper this week on Fresh Air. Cooper talks about how he changed his voice for the film, learned to sing and play guitar, and cast his real-life dog, Charlie. Find the episode now in the Fresh Air feed.